Please be seated. It's just a delight to have you in a service this morning. And it's an exciting time for us, as Tony shared with us earlier. And we just have seen God do so many incredible things. I think of the many resources that we were lacking when we talked about doing something on this kind of scale. And, you know, the scripture says that God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think. And certainly he has done that. Just we didn't look big enough. We just had no idea that he would manage something on this scale. So we're just excited, is to put it lightly, of the things that God will do this week. If you're looking for a way to tap in, you say, well, I really haven't tapped in or plugged in the way that I feel like God wants me to, and I encourage you, just see Pam, man. There's so many things. There's a lot of work to be done and a lot of opportunity there. So if you want labor for the Lord this week and for his good purposes, there's plenty of opportunities. And pray. Tonight we begin Concert of Prayer. It's the kickoff. And it's going to be an exciting time. We're going to get together. It'll be 7 to 8 o'clock. So come and be with us and join our hearts together for what the Lord is going to do. Wanted to speak to you this morning about Jesus, a friend of sinners. Wanted to look at and consider some of the things. We've kind of deviated from the course in our studies in 1 Samuel. This week and the next, Pastor Price will be bringing an evangelistic message next week. It's a time when we hope to see a lot of the influx from the efforts with 5-Day Club Family Fiesta and all that will take place this week. And so we're planning to have a gospel presentation for those that would be coming. Now, all week long, we're reaching out to young people and to children, with young people, to children. And so those clubs are 4 to 12 years of age. But on Friday night, we've got a family fiesta, and we want to bring their parents in. And they'll come here on the grounds, bring their children, and have the carnival. We'll have just a great time of celebration. We've got loud music. And, you know, this music is not for you. It's for those unbelievers that are coming in, and they're going to have a carnival time, and it's going to be party time out there, and we're reaching out. And the purpose is not so much to evangelize the parents as they come on the grounds, but to build a bridge. We're making friends with these families and seeking opportunity to share the gospel with them. And so there's going to be a lot of exciting things this week. Pray for God to open doors. Now, the Apostle Paul says, pray that I will have boldness. And the other thing, he says, pray that I will have opportunity. And the other thing that he asked for prayer for in the New Testament is pray that there would be clarity of the gospel. And so you want three good things to pray for? Pray for those things. I want to ask the question this morning as we look and consider going into this week. Why should we care? Why should we care about a 5-Day Club Family Fiesta? What's it all about? What's the stir about? Now, why have we gone to all of this trouble? And there has been a lot of work put in here. So many people have invested in many ways. It's the way, and I just, in approaching this question, I want to express from the leadership of this church, for your response, we want to express from the bottom of our hearts our thanks to you, to each one of you, in all the different ways that you have participated. And that's the beauty of the church body, that there are many ways to tap in and be a part. But the main thing is that God's will, his focus, his purposes for us are being fulfilled when we operate, when we work together in all of these many different facets. That's the nature of the church body. One of the things that we prayed for last January, as we had our annual meeting and we looked at the possibility of doing this, even though we had not set aside any of our budget, we had no finances for doing this project. And so, but it was the burden. It was the burden on our hearts as we met. The elders met and talked about these things. It was just go, forward ahead, full steam, take off. And so God but one of the key things was, well, can we mobilize our church body? Will they step up to the task? And I just want to say that you have done that so well, and we appreciate every one of you for the different ways that you have helped out. And there's those many facets that are involved in the work of the church body and how it functions. It's exciting to see. And it's mobilization. It's what we had prayed for and asked God to do for us. But let's ask the question. Let's think about why we should care about the 5-Day Club Family Fiesta. What's it all about? Why do we care about those kids out there and those families and San Marcos? And you know, it's nice to be safe over here, but here we're taking some strides. Here we're putting things out on the line. Here we're saying, God, what is your purpose for this church? And how can we creatively reach out there and do some of the things that you have called us to do from eternity past, that the fullness of Christ's will would be accomplished through his people in this place? And so why should we care about the 5-Day Club Family Fiesta? I think there's 2 points. I want to just make 2 quick points to you this morning. And we'd go to Matthew 11:19, and there we have Jesus Christ, and what the scenario here, what has just taken place is there's some conflict about John the Baptist, and Jesus responds to some of his criticism. He says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax gatherers and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. I just want to make a point on this Jesus Christ being accused of being a friend of sinners. And I think he wore it as a badge. I think he decided that and used it to make the point. And there was a tremendous contrast. We find in Isaiah where the shepherds are being rebuked because of their lack of care for the people. So we find Jesus, the Son of Man, being a friend of tax gatherers and sinners. And so we find a precedent for us to care about those that have need. Well, remember Christ saying, those that are sick need a doctor. And so we go to the Apostle Paul, and we find in 1 Corinthians 9, and you can turn your Bibles there. I'm not going to explain the entire passage. What I would like to do is just summarize some of the points and the context of which Paul is speaking here. But what I'd like to do is capture his heart. I'd like to get a glimpse into the Lord Jesus and his focus while he was here on earth, while he ministered. And then I'd like to get a glimpse of the Apostle Paul, just so we might answer that question as to why we might have and might care about having a 5-Day Club Family Fiesta. I'm going to ask you to look a little bit beyond ourselves this morning when we consider the precedent, the examples that have been set before us. The Apostle Paul said, I have become all things to all men that I may by all means save some. Now the context in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is that the Apostle Paul is making an argument because they are challenging his apostleship, and he is telling them, you know, when I was there in Corinth, I didn't burden you. I had the right to be fed and clothed, ministering to you, and yet I made tents because so that I wouldn't be a burden to you, that I might win more to Jesus Christ, that you would be free from any burden on my part. And so Paul is making this point of becoming all things to all men. And what he is doing is that he is, in a sense, doing what Hebrews talks about, that laying aside in the race for the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ's purposes for him, he was not only laying aside the sin, but laying aside encumbrances, certain things that might prohibit him from achieving the goal, accomplishing the greatest amount of fruit, being involved in the task that God had called him to. And so the Apostle Paul, he didn't receive salary from the Corinthians here. He did not burden them in any way. And he laid aside this right that he had, and he basically in chapter 9 explains that right. But I don't want to go there. What I'd like to go to is he explains why he did it, and it gives us a little bit of the heart of the Apostle Paul. And Paul basically refused support for three reasons here that we find in these verses. And I want you to think about it real hard this morning. Number one was that he didn't want to cause any hindrance to the gospel. Look at verse 12 in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay, he said, I didn't take any finances from you. And he says in verse 12, if others share the right over you, do we not more? He's saying, I had the right to do those things. Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endure all things that we may cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Now, we can think of a lot of different illustrations today of charlatans in the pulpit, those religious people that are about somehow beating people out of money. And it's very much a problem today, all over the world, in the United States of America as well. But Paul did not want in any way to hinder the message of the gospel of Christ. Can you get it? Do you get this guy's heart? Do you see where his values were? I mean, it was important to him when he went to Corinth that he reached those people, that with the power of the gospel, and there were certain actions that he took. There was a certain position that in which he stood in order to accomplish that task, which was of highest value to the Apostle Paul. And so we ask the question, do we care? Do we have that type of perspective when we approach evangelism in our community? And so we started looking at Family Fiesta, and then it was like, okay, how can we creatively do this? How can we, as a tiny church that's been kind of like insulated over here on the western edge of San Marcos, Texas, how can we have an impact? And God has opened up doors for us to do that. So, but the Apostle Paul wanted to cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Secondly, he's interested in having a reward. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Have you thought about it? There's a reward. And the Apostle Paul says, look at verse 17. It says, For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have my stewardship entrusted to me. Now, this is fascinating to me in light of our studies in the Sunday school hour that we just had this morning with John Piper. And he talked about this morning about the importance of having a reward and looking at a superior reward, because there's a lot of pleasures in life. There's a lot of things that you can enjoy, and there's a lot of things that you can be, in a sense, temporally rewarded by, but that's not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about laying hold of a reward. And notice he says, I do this voluntarily for the purpose of joy, the joy of service to Jesus Christ, for the purpose of expressing the right value in who Jesus is and the love that we should hold for our Lord and Savior and Redeemer. The Apostle Paul was seeking, and it's a personal reward. And so I want to encourage you, one of the reasons that you should care is that there are eternal rewards here. There are eternal rewards when we turn aside and when we lay hold of eternal benefits, things that aren't temporal, things that don't just satisfy us in a selfish way, but for the joy of the calling that God has given to us, for the eternal value of what we have been called to, we reach beyond selfishness to serve others. We look at a community and see impoverished people, people that are sick spiritually, people that are desperately in need, and we look with the compassion of Jesus Christ, and the Scripture tells us that there's a reward for it. There is a feasible, a tangible reward that we can take hold of, even in this life, presently, but certainly in the life to come. The Apostle Paul didn't want to be compelled to do it. He didn't want it to be duty which caused him to do it. It wasn't just a matter of, oh, we're a church here. We have to go out and do something to evangelize because it's our duty. It was voluntarily. It was motivated. It was compelled by joy. Joy for Christ. We need it. These are the things that we need. We need to understand. We need to lay hold of the heart of the Apostle Paul. We need to look back at these examples. The Lord Jesus Christ, how many times did it say that Christ, he looked out upon the multitudes and he had compassion upon them? How long has it been for you, for me, for Grace Bible Church, since we really and truly looked out and felt compassion the way we ought to feel it? If not, it's not compelled. And for the Apostle Paul, he acknowledged that to not do it voluntarily, for it to be motivated simply out of duty, was to lose the reward. But to know the joy of God's Spirit compelling us and working within us is a totally different story. There's a joy when it's done voluntarily. And then thirdly, there's a third principle here. And that was that the Apostle Paul wanted to win the more. I like that phrase. In verse 19, for though I am free from all men, he doesn't owe anybody anything. I have made myself a slave to all. Paul was a free man. He was born free. He was a Roman citizen. He was one of the top-notch Pharisees. He had the credentials and the things that people wanted in his day. And Philippians tells us that he counted it all trash, refuse, that he might gain Christ. We see his heart here. He became, as a free man, became a servant, a slave to all. For why? That he might win more. That I might win the more. So he was always looking for that community. Now John's out there. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, John's out there in his little vehicle, and they don't have an air conditioner. They don't have an air conditioner in that car. It's hot, and they've had many sweaty hours. These young people that have gotten out and canvassed, man, it's just joy. You look at them, and it's been pure joy that has motivated the work that they have done, and they've done an incredible amount of work, a lot of labor. And I could go down the line here. There have been some folks that have been putting in that haven't even slept the last couple of days. Susan Magana is not here this morning because she's been up. She was up all night the other night laboring and offering up. But it's motivated out of joy. That's the cool thing. I mean, it's motivated by joy. And it's motivated by what it means to catch the vision of latching on to what God has called us to see with a heart of compassion people that need to know Jesus Christ. There's no hope for us. There's no hope apart from the gospel of Christ. There's no change of the human heart. There's nothing that of significance. There are changes that can be made. Social changes are all pale by comparison to what it means for the gospel of Jesus Christ to take someone's heart and transform it and give it new life. And man, families are transformed. Alcoholics are delivered from alcoholism. Drug addicts are delivered from their drugs. Families that are headed for destruction. You can remember just a few months ago, Benny Hash and Tony and I went in and sat down with Chief Williams. And Benny's been ministering in prisons for a number of years. He said, Chief, you know what kind of problem we're looking at. He said, we have three generations in prison now. Grandfather, father, and brother, or perhaps the kid, you know. I mean, we have problems out there. Right here in San Marcos, I went to as a police chaplain, I went to their banquet this year, and they were giving rewards for the crackdown that took place on the Mexican mafia right here in San Marcos. You know, I mean, we're insulated from it, but it's a disease. It's affected our community, and the answer is the gospel. It's what we're doing this week. You know, we can't get rid of all of that garbage, but we can change their heart by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's significant. It should cause us to care as God's people for what God is doing. Here's the bottom line, brothers and sisters. For the love of Christ compels us. That's why you should care. If this is not happening, it's all for naught. It's all wasted energy. It's all just time spent. But if the love of Christ compels us, if it's His compassion that drives this week, then we'll see some incredible things just by nature of what's going to take place inside of us. That's what we need. That's why it counts. That's why we should care about Family Fiesta. The love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. The message that we hold is the answer. It is the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. All right, so because of the compassion of Christ, we ask the question, why should we care? Why should we care about 5-Day Club Family Fiesta? Number one, because the compassion of Christ compels us to care. We must care. Here's a few applications for you. I want to talk to you about a few things here. Build a bridge with the unbelieving parents of children that come to Family Fiesta. If you haven't done one thing to help Family Fiesta, that's okay. We're not judging. In every different way that people have supported and helped out, we're grateful. But one of the chief things that you can do is be here out in the heat and make some contacts with some of the families that come in, introduce yourself, and build a bridge. Someone was asking last week, you got this gospel presentation. It's the one, and it has the method where you say, you ask the question in the presentation of the gospel. I can't think of a particular phrase here. I'm sorry about that. How is it that you can get, or how do you know that you, do you feel like you can go to heaven? That type of thing. I got the question all wrong. Someone know what that question is? It's similar to that, but it's a little bit different, this one. But the idea is that you take, you ask, you, when they respond, they say, well, I think I've been a pretty good person. And it's a little bit different. There's a little bit different angle on this particular presentation of the gospel. It's a fine presentation of the gospel, no criticism of different methods for how you present the gospel. But what happens is that you say, well, okay, I'm having a mental glitch again here now, so this is bad. Okay, so you say, well, would you think that the Ten Commandments is a good way to determine whether you've been behaved well enough to go to heaven, basically, is the response. And I say, well, yeah, I think I've done pretty well. And then you go through, you say, well, have you ever told a lie? Oh, well, then you're a liar. And you, it's confrontation. Well, you bring them to the point of understanding that if you've told a lie, that you've broken God's command. Have you ever lusted after a woman in your heart? Well, then you're an adulterer. Have you ever hated someone? Well, you're a murderer, according to Jesus. He said, if you hate someone in your heart, you're a lying, thieving, adulterous murderer. Okay? And so you bring them the point to, and the idea is to show them their sin. And that's good. You know, confrontational presentation of the gospel sometimes is that's a good thing. And you bring them to the realization of, hey, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the understanding. God's glory is here. His perfection is righteousness. Ours is here. And we're way separated. We're apart from Him. And so, and God has provided a way to bridge that gap. And you go into the presentation of the gospel. We don't want to do that. Okay, we don't want to do that Friday night. And it's not that we don't want to discourage you from presenting the gospel. With a confrontational gospel, there's a place for it. And I would encourage you to go down to the river, go to the mall, do it any time that you want to. But what we want to do on Friday night is build a bridge. Okay, we want to get to know these families. And we want to be a safe and a happy place where they can come and hear the gospel. And we're not going to leave it there, but it's the idea, this perspective is building friendship evangelism, okay? And it's the basic idea that evangelism is a process. As someone wrestles through the spiritual aspects of the gospel, sometimes they need time. And if we as God's people love them, support them, and do the things, express the compassion of Christ, then that's kind of like a greenhouse for the seed of God's Word that is planted. That's the idea of friendship evangelism, the idea of approaching someone with the gospel and understanding that it's a process. You're not asking them to make a split-second decision. You're giving them time and letting them know that you care about them and you're available. Okay? Now, we have a plan. Some would say, well, what are we going to do? You know, what about discipleship here? How are we going to do all of this? Okay, we're in place. And this body is so well equipped. I look at you guys in the pews out there. There's not a single one of you that could not only I don't want to say a single one of you. That's kind of that would be a blanket statement there that shouldn't be made. But all of you know how to share the gospel, and you're very, very capable of discipling in basic areas of the Christian life. And so we're equipped. We have the Awana program, which will be used to disciple these children. They can come. There's a place where not a single one of them that prays to receive the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't find a great place. I can highly recommend our teachers in the Awana program. And the Awana program itself, for memorizing scripture, learning Bible stories, learning the basic things that you need. Along with that, we have the CEF Good News Clubs. We need more workers. Aaron needs more help. But there's tremendous opportunity. The schools are open for us. All we need are trained individuals to go in into the public schools and teach after-school Good News Clubs. Aaron has more places than she can spread herself to do the Good News Clubs. We need help in those areas. God may be calling some of you to that. He may be putting that on your heart to and it's discipleship. Good News Clubs will equip them with exactly what is needed to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Beyond that, we have Alan and Pat Harris that have taken over the visitation program in our church. And they're gearing up. So if you're saying, well, we need to evangelize these guys, we need to plug them in, and what are you doing there? Then God may be calling you. If that was your response, and you're thinking, man, we're dropping the ball here, then God's probably calling you to be a part of that. Go and see Alan and Pat and see how you can tap in. And then you can be there. You don't have to. And we're asking you not to confront them with the gospel and in a confrontational presentation of the gospel way on Friday night. But we're challenging you to meet with Alan and Pat and figure out ways, visitation-wise, that you can go later and knock on their door and share the gospel with them. There's going to be that opportunity. You'll be trained, and you'll get the things that are needed to do that, and you'll get to walk with somebody. You won't be thrown out there. But there's a way. There's a plan. We have things in place to do the things that are needed and necessary. Build a bridge on Friday at Family Fiesta. Care with the compassion of Jesus Christ and build a bridge. I want to say this, the music and the fiesta is not for us. Now, if you're planning to go and have fun, and if you're consumed on self here, it's not your thing. We're looking outside of ourselves. The music is 60s and or 70s and 80s. It's loud. You're probably, many of you probably won't like it, but it's not for you. We didn't have them come over for you. We had them specifically because we were going to have unbelievers out of the community coming in, and these guys are going to crank it. They're incredible. There's a horn line that sounds like Chicago. I mean, I'm not exaggerating either. They're good. And so it's going to be good music and music that they'll enjoy, and some of you will just endure, but it's not for you, okay?